It's Candy O 742. Stand by, Mariah Carey next.
I would rather be in the field of animation. You know, feel like I could be myself, yet someone different at the same time.
Bringing a world perspective to today's news.
Why voiceover? It's powerful, it's creative, it's cool.
Oh yes, voiceover is cool, but it's not as cool as talking shop with Dan Lothian and Law Lapidus.
What's that? It should be Law Lapidus first, then Dan Lothian?
Eh, they'll fix it in post. This is Mike, Camera, Action.
Okay, we're back on our podcast.
We're so back.
Great to... It's been such a long time. Well, actually, no.
It feels like a long time.
Only 1 week.
Bren, thank you for the reminder. Thanks for the calendar check.
That's right, Mr. Calendar over here. And it's, great topic today, huh?
Yeah, I'm excited. And we both lived it, too. Those were the days of going to graduate school.
Exactly. And you know, that's the one time in my life where I wanted to surrender and quit. And you know me, I'm not a quitter.
No.
I don't like to lose. Defeat is not a word that I like to use in my vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in grad school, I remember one night walking in the rain, walking home, with my briefcase in my hand in a plastic bag and saying, that's it. I'm giving up.
Yeah.
I'm going to quit.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. You know, no matter what you're going for, it is truly boot camp. It really is and meant to be so.
It is.
Right,
it
Dan?
Is.
What was, right. What did you go for? What was your degree in?
Well, it was a master's in public affairs and in communications.
Mm.
So you part of it was public policy issues, and then the other part being both newspaper and broadcast journalism.
And how long was that? How long did that take you to earn that degree?
It was about a year and a half. Basically, mm-hmm. you started at the beginning of one summer, then you went a full year, and then you wrapped up at the end of the next summer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so it was public affairs and communication.
Right? Was it full time?
Yeah, it was
full time.
And in the, you know, when you started in the year, it was, I don't know, 12 credit hours, which in grad school, that's quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a lot. It was very difficult. I mean, I went from undergrad where I was goofing off all the time to grad school where it was heavy lifting. I mean, it was a lot of... It was almost, for me at least, it felt like going from college football to pro, you know, the NFL.
Yeah, like, and for the listener who has not gone to graduate school, I mean, that really is grad school across the board.
Or for the third micer that hasn't gone.
It's hard to explain. I mean, a year and a half full time in grad school probably equates to, you know, 3 years of workload and commitment and time. So you really do have to be serious, right?
You
when
do.
You go to grad school.
You're right, and you real, you know, not that people who go to college aren't serious, but there are a lot of people who go and get a college degree,
mm-hmm.
and then it's a smaller number who actually go on to grad school.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, that means that it's a different caliber. It's someone who is more driven or has other aspirations, whatever it may be. But it's pretty much everybody in grad school mm-hmm. is there to knock the ball out of the park.
And focus.
And I don't know about your program, and I believe all the programs are like this. When you're in undergrad, you can just barely pass a class, right? I think you can get C's now in college, or D's. Mm-hmm. You can get D's, maybe?
Yeah.
Not that I got D's.
Brent didn't show up to the class.
Right.
And
what
he
was it
somehow
like?
Got A's. I don't know how he did that.
What was the D like? Tell us, right?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay, good.
I couldn't tell you.
No, so, but when you're in grad school, the lowest that you could get was a B-.
Right.
I mean, if you didn't get a B-, you fail the class.
Yeah, they kick you out. They literally dismiss you from these programs.
They do.
Dan?
And so, and really, you could come back in again. But everybody had to pass. And mm-hmm. I believe in my program, there may have been two people who did not make the cut initially after the summer. And so it's a different caliber. You know, the standard is much higher. It's very difficult. So you really want it. You know, you have to want this. To do it, I believe. I mean, unless you're just you're so smart, you can walk through any graduate program. It's a lot of work.
That's right. There's no fooling around when you go to graduate school. I mean, I think that that's a truism for people who go and understand that. In my program, when I went for a 3-year full-time MFA, which is Master of Fine Arts in acting. So it was incredibly difficult, highly competitive, where we auditioned to have a placement in the program, and we were up against like thousands of people for 8 spots in the program to be chosen. But you weren't only chosen on the basis of talent and skill and your look. You were also chosen based on the fact, like, you know, Darwinism. Could you survive, or did you look like you could survive this kind of program?
Right.
And also, were you going to make a good teacher? Because a lot of times in graduate school programs, you know, they want you to teach. They want you to do a TA-ship, a teaching assistantship, to be teaching undergraduates. And Dan did that too. We both did that.
In fact, that's how I got into, partly how I was able to sell myself in the to get into the graduate program, was that I had been working in broadcasting since I was a kid. And I said, look, not only are you getting a student here who's going to try like crazy, work hard, and has, you know, I'm going to make it kind of mentality, but also I bring a lot to the table. And at the time, back in the day, you had to edit, when you were editing audio tape, you took a razor blade and you took a grease pencil and all that. And I said, I can teach undergraduate programs how to edit and all kinds of stuff.
Dan, I didn't think you
and
were that
so,
old.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. I'm only 25, but.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Wow.
But it just, I offered a lot. I brought a lot to the table. And as it turned out, there was one class, one undergraduate class that the professor was there the first day and the last day. And the rest of the time I taught the class. So parents, you know, you're paying all this money, you know, really, we're doing it. But that's for another story, another time.
Right, right.
Why we're talking about this is whether or not, after everything we've described and now scared people away from grad school, is it worth it? Is it necessary? Do you need to go to grad school in order to make it in this business? Whether it's in broadcasting or it's in, you know, on the entertainment side, acting or voice or whatever it may be, is it necessary?
I think it's a really interesting question. And certainly for talent, people who are actors specifically, if they stay in the craft, will oftentimes come to, you know, a place in their journey where they'll stop and they'll say, do I want to go to grad school? It's just a very natural thing for actors to do after a while of being in the industry. And I'm going to make it really easy. And I usually don't say this, but I'm going to say very simply, no. It's not necessary.
Wow.
And I'll tell you why. Because more people in the industry that are working do not have graduate levels degrees. So they literally don't need to get a degree to work in the industry. They can work. Great. However, here's the caveat, and this is very important to talk about when we talk about the pros to going to graduate school. For the ones who do, for the elite ones who do, like you and I do.
Exactly. With your diploma.
Not the rest.
And
leave them behind the
And peons. Your British accent that comes along with a degree.
Here's what it can do for you. Here's what graduate school can do for you. It can potentially open doors for you that may not have been opened or even been present to you. Doors like networking with professors, mentors, guest artists that come through your program that you work with directly. Networking is a huge part of the industry, and they can oftentimes help you find jobs or refer you for casting or for roles. In my circumstance, either getting an MA, a Master of Arts, which is an educational track, or an MFA, a Master of Fine Arts, it's what we call a terminal degree. And that means if you make it through, it kills you. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't kill you. But I mean, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But supposedly, you really don't need to move on to a PhD, supposedly. You don't need to move on to a PhD in order to get hired in a college and university teaching setting. However, there are you know, loopholes to that theory that a lot of people do go on for PhDs as researchers, as book writers, in order to get higher levels of teaching positions in colleges. But you can teach at the college level holding an MA or holding an MFA. And as you know, a lot of folks in our industry, to support themselves or really just as creative outlets, teach, direct, write. Produce, they do all sorts of things. So the graduate degree really, really can help you open doors at the upper levels.
Right. Wow. All good stuff. I mean, I think I would respond this way, yes and no. And no, because in general, someone's not going to look at your resume and say, oh, you know, we wanted to hire a reporter or we wanted to hire an actor, but you didn't go to grad school, so we're not going to hire you. We're going to hire the other person. That most likely won't happen. Mm-hmm. I will say that there was one job that I got at King TV in Seattle many, many years ago. And part of the reason that I got the job was because I had a master's degree. And I believe it was the only reason that all of us who were hired there got hired, mm-hmm. In general, once they, you know, they could look at our tape and know that we knew what we were doing, mm-hmm. was that we all had master's degree. And the reason for that was this news director felt people who had master's degrees, it was a different kind of person. It was someone who was going to go one mm-hmm. more step beyond the ordinary. And I looked around. I mean, he was cleaning house of the people who had been there for years, and every single person he brought in, they all had master's degrees. So it in that particular case, it helped, but I think in general, it doesn't really matter. Right. But I do think there, I agree that the networking possibilities are much greater when you're in grad school. It allows you to have access to certain people and places and things mm-hmm. that otherwise you may not have had access right. to as undergraduate. And plus, again, if you use that same argument, the people who go to grad school, it's a more aggressive kind of person who's more goal-oriented, who's really pushing to become a superstar. Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to be somewhere someday, and you might need their help. And now you know them
that's
because you
important,
went to school
Dan.
With them.
You
know?
Right. That's you hit the nail on the head right there, because some of the people you're going to go to grad school with, you may not become friends, lifelong buddies with all of them or stay in touch with all of them, but that one person or those two people that you are going to stay in contact with can literally shape the entire course of career. I'll give you a quick example. One of my dearest friends is artistic director of an actor conservatory program, and she brings me in all the time as a guest artist, a guest teacher, to produce showcases for her students. Her students have become clients of ours at our coaching firm. And this has been an ongoing, you know, 5-6 year relationship within the life of my business that has really changed the entire course of the population that come to work with us as clients,
right.
all because of knowing her, being close to her, and really having a similar working philosophy about how we teach, how we direct, and how we coach. And that's something that you very well may find in graduate school, these lifelong partners, if you will,
right.
that will be in touch with you and that will hire you
right.
for jobs.
And it's not to say that you can't make those relationships in undergrad, but I do believe that there is a different caliber. And so your chances of really getting connected with some people who are going somewhere, and not that that's the only reason you need to connect with people, but if you are looking to build your career, you have to look at those kinds of things. And this is that one thing that could help you. The other thing too is if you went to an undergraduate program that maybe isn't as prominent in a particular field that you now really want to go into. So let's say you didn't go to a big communications school or whatever it might be. It's not thought of as a, you know, a top of the line college, which was in my case, that is what happened. Mm-hmm. I went to a small private college that ended up eventually folding, sadly. Mm. But in terms of sort of on the grand scheme of things, nobody, when you mention the name of the school, it's like, what, where's that from? Right. Mm-hmm. So it was a way for me as I was moving, you know, thinking about moving up. It's like, wow, I need to have another degree so that it can supplement, at least from a image standpoint, it can sort of supplement my well-roundedness, that I didn't just go to this smaller school that nobody knew about, but this other school. And also the location of it. I went to American University in Washington, D.C.
Right.
So it gave me the chance
right.
to, you know, this other school I went to was in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Mm.
And now all of a sudden, I was in Washington, and when I was doing my internship, I was standing next to mm-hmm. Sam Donaldson, for those of you who are younger,
Incredible.
Was a big-time White House
Incredible.
Correspondent at ABC. I was standing next to Bill Plant, who is still at CBS. I mean, these were all major, prominent people in
mm-hmm.
the broadcast news industry that
right.
I would never have had the chance.
And one thing led to another, right?
Exactly.
One moment led to another.
Exactly.
You couldn't come into graduate school and say, this is my trajectory, and I'm going to stand
right.
next to Sam Donaldson in 4 years. You couldn't really know that, right?
Exactly.
Dan, you really
exactly.
don't know. You just have to go for the ride, go for the journey.
Exactly.
Right? But you do, as you said before, you have to be super serious about it, because there is no huge margin of error in grad school.
No.
Oftentimes, they're investing a lot of money and time in you. I know for my education, I mean, I was so fortunate and so blessed, and the older I get, the more I appreciate it, that I was on a full ride. I was on a full 3-year scholarship
I dislike
ride
you
with
strongly.
TA-ship. And
I'm shooting arrows at you with my eyes.
I really couldn't even appreciate what it was at that time.
I had to pay for mine.
I know. Isn't that hard? I mean, you come out and you owe a lot of money, and that is a big
con
to going to grad school.
I was just broker than broke.
And you can owe a lot of money, especially if you're an actor or a talent and you come out of a private institution, you might owe $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
You might owe more than that after all the school loans and everything. That's very much more common than my story is that story.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Much more common. Brent, did you ever think of grad school or doing, because I know you went to undergrad and graduated. Yes. Did you ever think of going on to graduate program?
Not really. Can't say that I did. Mm-hmm. When I went to undergrad, it was for communications in a small school in New Hampshire. And I actually tried becoming a radio DJ, but that kind of faltered pretty much right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Grad school kept on coming in and out of my head, but it wasn't something I actually tried to pursue strongly.
Right.
And I think Brandon really, represents more people, most people, than the people who end up going into a graduate program, because it is expensive. It is a huge time-consuming commitment.
Yeah.
I had to move across the country. I had to move 3,000 miles away and change my whole life, which at the time I loved and I wanted to
Do. You were running
do,
from the law at the
but,
time, so that
was
good.
I am
right?
the law. I guess I was running
from You were the
myself,
law running but, from the law.
Right, but the point was, at that time I wasn't married. I had no children. I didn't own anything, and it was easy for me to do that, whereas for a lot of people, it's not easy to do that.
Well, right. With the experience that I've gained since undergrad, if I had to do it again, I probably would have considered, I would have made more of an effort to go to grad school. Right. Even despite what you guys have been saying.
Because now he sees how his life has gone awry, and you see
that's
how,
right.
how
he sees
enslaved
how wonderful
he is
our
by
life
the job
is.
He has working at our studio.
That's
and he
right.
says, boy, life could have been so much better if I went to grad school. What was I thinking, right?
Well, for me, too, beyond everything that we have laid out here, for me, it was a matter of I had a dream. Now it sounds like a speech.
Wow.
I have a dream.
This is getting
and
heavy.
My dream was to go to grad school. You know, it's like you lay out goals for your life, and one of them was I wanted to go to grad school. It was just something that I felt would make me a better person, would help me professionally, and just was a goal that I wanted to hit.
Did you get in right away? I'm just curious. When you applied, did you go to the school of your choice, and did you get in right away?
Okay. So, short story, no. So, I applied to a school and got sort of provisional entry. And there was a mix-up in the paperwork and transcripts. And so I was getting ready to go, and all of a sudden they said, oh, we made a mistake. Actually, you didn't get in. And that was really, look at it, and I won't talk about the name of that school, but the fact is that school ranked, when you do the ranking of like communication programs and so, that doesn't even make it on there. Like I had sort of limited. It's like, okay, I'll just go there and it'll be fine and wonderful. Mm-hmm. And at that point I had nothing to lose. So I said, you know what? I'm going to pick the top five and I'm going to pick one of the top five that I'll go target. And I did, and I got in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was wonderful that I got rejected from that one school because I got into a better school.
What does it rhyme with?
You wouldn't even know. There's lacrosse. There's something about lacrosse in the name of it. Yeah, so
that's exciting, Dan.
Yeah.
I love those stories.
Yeah.
I mean, mine is, it took me 4 years from start to finish to actually go to graduate school because I was applying to schools like Yale and, there was a local college here. And I almost got in to a local college, like literally up the street from where I live. And I came close, didn't get in. Next year, I was waitlisted. Then the next year, I was out and out rejected. I wasn't even waitlisted. By a whole series of curious events, I ended up auditioning for the chair of this program, which was over at University of California, Irvine. And he loved my work. And a long story short, I ended up getting in. And it took 4 years to get to that place. But by the time I was at that place, I really knew I wanted to do it. It was kind of like I needed those couple years to make sure that's what I really wanted to do. But, I say it's amazing because I could have gone up the street and had a whole different life unfold versus go across the country and have another whole different life unfold. But I want to address, folks like Bren, which are a lot of people out there who don't go to graduate school for whatever reason. what can you be doing that can mirror that kind of experience for yourself to help your development in the industry? Because I don't think it's graduate school or bust.
Right.
I think there's a lot of things you can do, and I'd love to offer some tips.
I'm pretty sure it's changed over the last 15 years or so with technology.
Very much so, and everyone, right, being online, right, and going to grad school online and hybrid courses. We were just talking about that
right
earlier, Dan. But, you know, one of the things I'd like to throw out there for people who don't plan on going to grad school or have no interest in doing that is create a plan for yourself that can mirror what an intensive program would offer you. So, for instance, setting up an internship right would be one of them. That's something that you could do on your own, not being within a program. You know, the other thing you could do too, and I find myself doing this all the time, is your own professional development. Just because someone isn't over you or program isn't over you requiring you to do it doesn't mean you don't need to do it. Take a class.
Right.
Take a workshop
you
with a master.
You can take grad programs where you're not getting credit. You can
right
do night school
cheap
somewhere.
Too.
Right, right.
Really
no,
cheaply.
Definitely.
You can go to even an adult ed center. There's a local adult education center I'd like to go because there's a specific technique someone is teaching there that we teach at our studio.
Right.
So I'd like to see how they teach that technique.
Well, you know, one thing as we wind down our podcast, there are a couple of things that one of them jumping off something you said is that you might be sitting there saying, okay, I'm thinking about going to grad school, but you know, my grades were so-so and I'm just wondering how I can get in. You were, I'm not saying you didn't have great grades, but you used a different kind of opportunity. You were auditioning mm-hmm in front of someone and that opened the door. For me, I actually showed up at the office of, I think it was unannounced. I just was in the area and I called up and I said, look, I'd love to talk to whoever's in charge of you know, applicants getting into the program here. I walked in and I immediately assessed the room and saw that she had some pictures of a trip that she had just taken overseas to the same place I had just been to. And I struck up the conversation and that loosened up everybody. And then I led from that to, look at all this experience I have. I can bring so much to the table. I went out and sold myself.
Wow.
So it wasn't a matter of just take a look at my transcripts and I hope I get in. It's like, this is the only place I want to go. And this is what I think I can bring to the table. And then at the same time, I will get the best education. So, but I sold myself that way. So don't just worry about your transcripts or whether or not you can get in. Sometimes look for that one thing that you can bring to the table and you can sell yourself to get into the program.
And I love that. That's a Dan story.
That's
right
a Dan
there
story.
I'm going further back than that. I remember in high school, my guidance counselor always said, it's not always about the grades. It's about your extra curricular
exactly
activities.
Ooh, yes.
Right.
So that kind of sounds like you were taking that to the next level instead of going from high school to college, from college to graduate school. So.
Exactly. And then the final piece of advice I would say is that let's say you are mid-career right now. And my wife is a good example of this, where you are working, you know, for GM, doing something in, you know, engineering. And all of a sudden you want to go into media. It's going to be a little harder sometimes to just make that jump if you don't have a degree. And in some of the other careers that you may be interested in going into, you have to have another degree. Mm-hmm. And so if you're mid-career thinking about shifting course, you might want to go, well, it's important that you go and get a graduate degree. My wife is a great example. She has been a producer all her life in television and radio, working for newspapers. And then, you know, after we had kids and they were old enough to sort of do their own thing, she said, you know what, I want to be a school teacher. And so she went and got a master's degree in education because that was important
right
for her. If she was
going
to
right
be a full-time teacher, she needed
right
to have a master's degree.
Right,
and
right
so that's why she did it. God bless her. I can't believe she pulled it off. It's amazing. It was a lot
she
of work.
It
was very difficult.
Well, she's like you. Birds of a feather flock together.
There you go.
Right,
I think she was competitive. She kept on all those years later.
She wanted to
shine.
It's like,
I can't believe.
You.
Exactly. And she not only did she want to get it, but just like, well, but I was older when I got mine. You would have never done it. But anyway, I think that's one way, you know, if you're thinking about going,
sure,
I think it can certainly help you as you're transitioning to another career. It also brings you up to speed and up to date with whatever it is. So whatever, back
ooh,
in the day when you were in
important
college, back in 1822, when
mm-hmm
they were using, you know, chalk and a slate, to
right.
you know, write on,
yep.
or maybe it was stones back then.
Right.
You know, you now are in the computer age. And so there are a lot of yeah. things about the way that this new industry is going, and going to graduate school may be all you need to get yep. you sort of up to speed, current, and be right at the top of the list when people
yeah.
are looking to
and
hire.
If you do go, if you choose to go, you get accepted to go, you have to remember that, and this was some of the best advice that I received in life in general, is you will get out of it what you put into it. Don't
exactly.
think that because you're going to a big name, or because there are a lot of famous people that came out of there, or a lot of successful people in the industry, that you will follow suit. It is not necessarily true. You have to work incredibly hard. You have to put 100% in, and you have to really squeeze the juice out of it, I like to say, and not be passive about it, not wait for things to happen, and not rely on just getting an A in a class. You really do have to look beyond what the curriculum is to see what your takeaways are in a year or 2 years or 3 years, so that you make sure that that is really time well spent, because you have to expect that they're going to tear you to shreds.
That's right.
A lot of the job of graduate school is to tear down all your bad habits, all the junk that you brought in, all the stuff that's not working for you, and rebuild you in their philosophy, whatever that philosophy is.
Wow.
You may like that, you may not like that,
right.
but there's always important takeaways from that that you have to look for.
Right. So we've either provided motivation, or we've scared you like crazy, and you're going to run for the hills and say, forget this graduate school thing.
Yeah, there's probably a couple of people who were about to fill out an application
and now
as they were listening.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that
now
sound?
Now they're terrified.
That's
now
the application
terrified.
Going to the garbage. Hey, this was great, and we hope it was helpful to you.
Yeah.
So then I was like, do you want to see my Neumann?
Dude, we're still rolling.
What? They're still listening? Don't these people have homes?
Well, since you're still with us, check us out at lalapitascompany.com and littleparkmedia.com, and look for Media Monster, the Learning Hub programs. Everything from coaching to podcasts to media events and very cool and necessary seminars and workshops.
By the way, did that lazy tech director ever fix the intro on post?